May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. There's something incredibly comforting and reassuring about going somewhere we've been often enough that we know what to expect. For many of us, summer is a time when we do that, when we return to places we've been before, when we go back to places that are anchored in familiarity and tradition, memories and history. For our family, that place is Pawleys Island. I've been going since I was a child, and Buck and I have been taking our own children there since they were babies. We've rented only 3 houses in all the years we've been there, and this will be our 11th year and the one that we'll return to later this week. The familiarity of that house and the traditions that have evolved over the years are part of what makes our time there so special. Whether it's body surfing, doing a jigsaw puzzle, napping in the hammock, or riding bikes. Memories of hurricanes and sandcastles and sea turtles hang like pictures on the wall. And the stories on the historical markers that dot the island have become part of our story as well. But what makes our time at Pawleys so sacred is that it's also become a place where we ask what new things God is inviting us to do. God and God's calling to us never seem more immediate than when we are there. The ocean and the rhythm of the surf become a part of who we are and whose we are. So in the midst of so much that is familiar to us, we try to be attentive and curious and open to what new possibilities await us, and we have come to expect that something transformative will happen as a result. In the security of that sacred place, we have dared to ask questions and make decisions that have changed us and changed our lives. We may have been surprised, but we haven't been disappointed. The mountains would have been a similar kind of place for Peter and James and John, and when Jesus took them up the mountain, they had every reason to be attentive and open and curious. Their history was steeped in mountaintop experiences. After all, it was on a mountain that an angel promised Abraham that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sand on the seashore. It was on a mountain that God revealed himself to Moses and later gave him 10 commandments. And in their more immediate experience, it was on a mountain that Jesus appointed them to proclaim his message and gave them authority to cast out demons. It was on a mountain that he delivered his revolutionary Sermon on the Mount and the miracle of feeding 5,000 people. So when Jesus took Peter and James and John up the mountain to pray, they could expect that something transformative would happen as a result. And they shouldn't have been disappointed. Jesus was transfigured before their very eyes. Moses himself showed up, along with Elijah, the prophet who has gone up to heaven in a whirlwind. And that wasn't the end of it. God spoke to them from a cloud, echoing the words that God had spoken at Jesus' baptism. This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him. And just as you would expect, Peter and James and John asked all kinds of questions about who Jesus was and what he was calling them to do and how they might use what had been revealed to them to live the way that Jesus was showing them and teaching them, how they might be transformed. Except that they didn't. Peter tried to put what they were seeing into the context of what he already knew about Moses and Elijah. He didn't consider that God was revealing something new, that it was a continuation of a story, not a recap, and that he and his fellow disciples were part of the story and how it was unfolding. And in the aftermath of hearing God speak, the reaction of Peter, James, and John was to keep silent, and tell no one what they had seen. In their failure to be attentive, curious, and open, they missed the better story and their parts in it. Jesus may have been transfigured, but his disciples missed the invitation to be transformed. The amazing thing is that we don't need to be at the beach or on a mountain to be transformed. The invitation is there all the time, perhaps especially in what is most familiar to us. No matter how many times we've heard the story of Jesus' transfiguration, for example, what is the invitation to us now? The power of the story comes not so much from what happened 2,000 years ago, but in the invitation it issues to us this morning. Whether it's the sunrise or a new puppy, the person sitting across from us at the breakfast table, or the one asking for money on the street corner, where are we seeing something so familiar that we miss what is holy, that we miss what can transform us? If Peter and his fellow disciples missed the point about God's Son and their parts in the story back then, what are we missing in the story about God's Son and our parts today? The same is true about our liturgy. Yes, the prayers are beautiful and so familiar that many of us could say them in our sleep. But in the security of this sacred place to which so many of us return week after week, let's not only be comforted, let's be attentive and open to God's ongoing story. If for us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, do you feel saved? That's not a question that we Episcopalians often ask, but how has Jesus saved you? And from what? When we pray to honor one another and serve the common good, how do we do so? It could be anything from greeting the stranger who is sitting in the next pew to choosing a solution to a problem that benefits the most people, even if it inconveniences us. And when we go out to do the work God has given us to do, to love and serve God as faithful witnesses of Christ, what specifically is that work? Feeding the hungry, caring for the sick, loving our neighbor, forgiving our enemies, and forgiving ourselves, for starters. We are not worshiping the history of God's story. We are participants in God's ongoing revelation. Our job is to be curious and attentive and open. Don't miss the better story. Don't miss the invitation to be transformed.